Summary. Very good. Nice point. Any other points?
In the spiritual world, people talk about not directly, they say about that, but whatever they say. Mm. And it gives more or so.
Yeah. Okay, anything else?
So then, how then it exhibits like a massive amount. So in this last class,
it is the envy because of which we find that we try to serve the fault in others.
Too late, Brihad. It's too late. It's not acceptable. You have to come early. Even though my mind was on time. So it can, but come early. It's too late. Yep, that's good.
In the same context, you also mentioned that the devotee is undisturbed. So here in Amrish Maharaj, the demon's spirit of that is situated properly. Remove the person. Not such a
Anything else?
Okay, you might perform several austerities, but if it is not because you are Krishna, then it doesn't give you any benefit. Your heart is hard, and your mercy goes away. And it is because of the envy that we try to find fault in others. And that doesn't make us advance in the spiritual life.
Anything else?
Not Sudarshan Chakrai is arranged to protect the devotees. Here in Sandaresh Maharaj, we also see when Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan, the chakra was actually going around Govardhan so that the waters of Indra does not actually reach the Govardhan and cause any inconvenience to devotees.
Anything else?
One's response to a situation is a sign of one's advancement. Or otherwise.
Anything else? No. So you're retaining the points very well, which is very good. Your summary is very good, especially Jimena Jivan, very good summary. So this means that you're understanding the essential points of the chapter. It's a very important pastime because it's just before the 10th canto. It's a famous pastime. And basically, the summary is that our false ego has to dissolve before we can enter into our eternal relationship with Krishna. So you see here that Ambarish Maharaj is showing the perfect example of someone whose false ego did not respond or react, even though he was in the most difficult circumstance. His life was threatened, but he was so detached from the body that he simply surrendered unto Krishna and continued and remained focused. Whereas Devasamuni, who was extremely powerful and extremely advanced on the path of yoga that he had taken, when his body was threatened, even though he was very advanced in consciousness, he still ran out of fear because the false ego was still intact or still overwhelming him. Whereas one who doesn't have false ego fully surrenders to Krishna and just accepts whatever Krishna gives him. So it's very important. We have to understand this lesson. Because, you know, there's a good chance that we may study the 10th canto next year, which means we have to elevate our consciousness rather quickly. Because the 10th canto is a completely different subject matter to what we're studying up until now. So we have to begin to imbibe some of these realizations much more deeply. So if we pray, Krishna will assist us. He'll purify us. Okay. So tonight we'll finish the chapter. So we'll go from verses 49 to 71. And we'll finish the chapter.
Does it mean that if Devasamuni had prayed to the Sudarshan Chakra when it was trying to trouble him, so then everything would have been over?
Yeah, if he had a surrender, yeah. Yep.
But in place of running here and there, he should have just prayed to the Sudarshan Chakra.
He should have begged forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, that's what he should have done. That's the lesson. Okay. That's all. 49. Upon seeing his own attempt had failed and that the Sudarshan Chakra was moving toward him, Devasamuni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Devasamuni. Devasamuni saw that the disc was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of Sumeru Mountain. Just to protect himself, Devasamuni fled everywhere in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the ocean, on different planets of the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarshan Chakra. With a fearful heart, Devasamuni went here and there seeking shelter.
But when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Loparma and said, "O my lord, O Loparma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So what are we learning from this pastime? We're learning that we need to learn humility when dealing with Krishna. Because what is the great lacking of Ambarish Maharaj? Sorry, of Devasa Muni? His great lacking is that he is lacking humility. Because he could have avoided all of this by being humble. And humility reconciles all difficult situations in our life. Because we're all faced with difficult situations, especially with other people, continuously. But if you're humble, you can reconcile every situation. That's why Lord Chaitanya says that we should, our siddha pranali is trinada bhi suniche. So you should need to be more tolerant than a tree. We're not very good at being tolerant. And we're not very tolerant, but if we learn to be tolerant, we can avoid all sorts of problems. More tolerant, more humble than a blade of grass. So real humility, if we learn real humility, then we won't be affected by practically anyone or any difficult situation. Amanina, manadena, offering all respect to others and not expecting anything from ourselves. So we're not very good at that either. We're very particular about who we offer respect to. And we're very particular about if people don't offer us respect. So therefore, because we have this consciousness, we cannot chant continuously, or we cannot remain on the spiritual platform. Devasa Muni could have saved himself a lot of trouble just by practicing humility. But as we pointed out last night, when you do too much austerity, which is not for Krishna's pleasure, your heart becomes hard, and then you cannot develop good qualities. So we need to do austerity, but the austerity must be for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. By doing that, the heart becomes soft, we become more humble over time, and then we develop better quality, and then we can avoid difficult situations. Because the difficult situations always come, they never stop. Difficulties in the material world never stop. Just when you think you're going to have a break, it comes again. And you know, when you get older, you just realize there's another one coming around the corner. All the time. Every day there's just something new waiting for you. Your karma is always waiting. And you never know where it's going to come from either. It comes from the most peculiar places and sources of people. It continuously comes. So if you're humble, you can reconcile all of these things. Any points?
It also shows that no material shelter can enable us to escape if the Lord has a particular desire to teach us a lesson. He's trying to take shelter of so many material things, running to this place, that place, and then he's going to Brahma. And the Lord has decided material energy is his own energy. He cannot protect it. Inferior energy.
Sudarshan Chakra is very powerful, as we know, and he is speaking on chasing Durvasa Muni, but he could have easily killed him. But still, it's always as if, you know, Durvasa Muni is one step ahead, so looks like it's the Lord's plan that he again goes back. He doesn't get shelter anywhere, and then ultimately he sends him back to Anish Maharaj to ask for things. Otherwise, Durvasa Muni could have easily caught up with him and chopped his head off.
That's what Krishna does to us. He could just chop our head off, but he just likes to make everything intense around us so that we become humble. So Krishna could easily end our life, but he'd rather burn you with the fire of purification to make you humble. And so that's what he's doing to Devasa.
Was it Sudarshan Chakra
that
chopped his head off? He wouldn't have learned his mistake. Would have died with his deep consciousness.
Yeah, Krishna likes to prolong the suffering. Because until the lesson gets through. Yeah, one time, I've told this story before, one time a senior devotee gave me an instruction, and then I didn't follow the instruction properly because I thought, you know, I thought I knew more than this person. So I was like, okay, I won't follow properly. So then for 3 weeks, then Krishna gave me no taste whatsoever in my chanting or anything. 3 weeks just went on and on and on because Krishna was just making the point. It was only something that lasted 5 minutes. They just asked me to do something, I didn't do it properly, and then that was it. But Krishna wanted to make the point, 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 make the point. So he just kept going on and on and on, you know, like that, until the point hits home. So that's why Krishna is doing this to Devasa. He could have just killed him, but he just wants to make the point until it goes deep into his consciousness. So, any other points? Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dwi Paradra, Parada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of resonance. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints, of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods. All of us surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. So, Jogeshwar Prabhu.
In Bhagavad Gita 10.4, he said, reduce sarva arishta. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches as death, or the Supreme Controller of time, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme God for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard it. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to the Vasani from the powerful Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Lord.
What are the points in this purport?
One does not surrender to the Lord, the Lord finally comes as death and takes away everything. I remember one of our relatives, he was an atheist for the whole life, and he didn't believe in God or anything. And then 70 years or so he had cancer, and then he was not able to move from the bed or anything, but they are playing Bhagavad Gita, and at that time he was with great difficulty lifting his hands. And
any other points?
I was just wondering why Lord Brahma didn't advise him to go to King Ambarish.
Maybe Lord Brahma understood Krishna's plan. So, any other points? So, everything that we have needs to be used in Krishna's service because everything will be taken away from us in due course of time. So Krishna gives each one of us a certain amount of facility. Some people he gives wealth, some people he gives intelligence, some people he gives a high birth, some people he gives all different things. We all have opulences. We all have abilities and skills which are given to us by Krishna. Prabhupada said that. He said, everyone has some special ability or skill which is given to you by Krishna. Some devotees have many skills. Some devotees practically can do everything. They're just very, very powerful. So Krishna gives us all these things. So the reason why he gives us these things is to use them in his service. So we use them in his service because everything's going to be taken away in due course of time. So a devotee is not bewildered. While you're young, while you have ability, while you have energy, while you have youth, when you get older and you have more wisdom, you need to use all of these skills or abilities in Krishna's service. Because in due course of time, everything just gets taken. So, do as much service as you can while you can. Because in due course of time, you're going to leave this world. Or in due course of time, you won't be able to do so much service, you know, for whatever reason. So while you can, then offer as much as you can to Krishna. And then ultimately, it's been this whole pastime, for the remainder of this chapter, it's teaching us that if we commit an offence, there's only one person who can forgive us, and that's the person who we offended. There's no use going to anyone else or to the deities. Or if I offend one of you in this room, there's no use me going to Radha Bala and saying, "Oh, please forgive me for the offence," because they're just going to turn me back to that person. So we have to go to that person and beg. You have to become humble. So sometimes we commit offences, but then you have to rectify the offence. That's Vaishnava Sadacha. Now, if you offend someone, because sometimes we do, we make offence, even unknowingly or unconsciously or intentionally. Yeah, we didn't intend to make an offence, but we just do it. Just like I joke around a lot. So sometimes I upset someone. I don't mean to do it, but just, you know, I always take things a little bit too far. You know, just make the joke a little bit too much. And then they get upset, and then suddenly there's some small offence which is there. So it means you have to rectify it with that person. So we have to be conscious that if we make offences, we have to rectify the offences. Devasa could have saved himself a whole lot of problems just by begging forgiveness from Ambarish. But sometimes we're too proud and we won't do like that. So then Krishna has to humble us to make us realise. If we don't become humble ourselves, Krishna will make us humble. So then you have to beg forgiveness from the devotee that you are. Any points?
And if I've seen that we are sincere, if the devotees are sincere, then Krishna inspires you as Dharmatma from inside. And he makes you realize that the devotee has been offended, so that he gives you an opportunity to go and apologize. Because if you're not sincere, I think Krishna doesn't inspire you, and that offense stays sometimes and it gives you the reaction. But if you're very sincere, then Krishna does inspire.
Any other points?
You said that if Lord Brahma didn't advise him because he knew Lord Krishna's plan. So if it is Lord Krishna's plan to do this way, then why we should blame Devasamini?
Oh, God. You have asked the same question 100 times. That's it.
No, I just wanted to ask Devasamini, being such a high, powerful yogi and all that, control his senses. At the same time, he couldn't have control over his anger, which is a bit bewildering.
Because he's not a devotee. That's what Prabhupada establishes. If you go through the remainder of the chapter, then Prabhupada says he's not a devotee. So devotees, non-devotees become proud. Or even us, because it says that the devotee and the demon are in the same body. Right? We're both sides. So sometimes we become proud and we don't act properly, we don't say the right thing, we don't behave properly. So even though he was exalted, in many ways he was exalted, in other ways he wasn't a devotee, so he didn't have the good qualities necessary. And power is intoxicating. You know, when you get money, you feel, you know, I know myself, I get a new pair of shoes and I feel like, oh, I'm getting a new pair of shoes. And it's like, you know, it's like that. So anything, when we get a bit of power or opulence or fame or something like that, we become intoxicated or something. So. Any other point? When Durvasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailas. Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness, cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord." So, Jivana
Jivana. There are innumerable universes in the material floated within this material world under the supreme direction of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa, for Lord Shiva also was under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So what are the points here?
There's an important lesson for us to learn from these three personalities like Brahma and Shiva, that they are not interfering with the plan of the Lord at all. Otherwise they are great personalities. In the material world, people who have some power or something like that, even if you know they are not knowing the solution, still they will try to offer some solution and keep them in good situation or something like that. But Brahma and Shiva are, you know, so surrendered that they are absolutely denying that they can help. They are not trying to
under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra, does it mean that it was making everybody illusion? No, the last sentence. The Lord Shiva was also under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra, sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means they were all under illusion.
Yeah, it means when Sudarshan is there, you become scared. If you're not a devotee, because Sudarshan is so powerful. So even Shiva, he fears Sudarshan, because he's so powerful.
So the scare comes from illusion.
So if you're a devotee, you don't become scared, but if you're not a devotee, you become very scared. Yeah, so he's understanding that Sudarshan is there, so he offers respect to Sudarshan. So, Prabhupada's pointing out, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that under misconception of our perceived greatness, then we become illusioned in this material world and influenced by false ego. So whenever you get a little bit of power, a little bit of opulence, you easily become influenced by that. You know, you think I am the best, you know, kirtan leader, I'm the best at giving class, I'm the best at IT, I'm the best at cooking, I'm the best at using my mobile phone during the Bhaktivedanta course, or, you know, I'm best at so many things. We all have our misconceptions. So these misconceptions, they cause false ego. And when false ego comes, then we cannot surrender to Krishna. So here it is being said, Lord Shiva, he understands his position. Even though he is Mahadev, he's much more powerful than all the other demigods. But still, he understands that compared to the Lord, he's very inferior. So we should feel like that. No matter what we get in terms of opulence or ability, we should always feel very dependent upon Krishna. That's actual humility. So, any other points? Yeah, he's something. Some sort of. He's not like a full expansion. But like he's not like he's Lord Shiva. But he's some sort of Shakti or something. So we have to research it. But yeah, there's something there. He's got some sort of, like some partial potency of Shiva. He's a devotee of Shiva. So. Anything else?
Yeah, when Abhimani did receive an aspirant, then he didn't know that whom to please. So he prayed to all the three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. So they all came to give him benediction. And so what happened, his wife got pregnant and she delivered three boys. And one was from Brahma, one from Vishnu, and from Mahesh.
Yeah, so each one had a certain amount of the potency of that person.
So from Vishnu at the Tatya came, and from Shiva at the Vasamani came,
Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantaratma, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief, for this Sudarshan chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Devasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Devasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan. His body trembling, he spoke as follows: O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. So as the Bhagavatam is reminding us that our offenses will always catch up with us in the future. So if we commit some offense, the reaction will come. You cannot escape it. So Devasa is under the illusion that if he goes to different places in the universe, changes his location, then the offences will disappear. But the offence does not disappear. No? Just like if you commit an offence in this temple, but then you think, oh, I'll move back to India. You know, but it doesn't mean the offence disappears. Because the devotee is offended, he's still offended. So that offence can carry on for lifetimes. And even it mentions that Bharata Maharaj, we understand the story that was in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. The fifth or? Fifth. So Bharata Maharaj, in the fifth canto, he got to the stage of Bhava Bhakti, and then he fell down and he became a tortoise. No, he became a deer. So when he became a deer, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions, the reason when he got to the level of Bhava that he could still fall down because there were some offences still remaining. So the offences don't disappear. So even if you go away and you go to a different place or change your location, even if you do lots of service, but if some offences are there, if a devotee has ill feeling towards you in the heart, it doesn't go away. The reaction still remains. And the famous example that we all know is Rupa Goswami, when he was in Samadhi, and then the devotee came, and the devotee offered obeisances to Rupa Goswami, but Rupa Goswami laughed at the devotee, because the devotee was a little deformed, his body was a little, something was wrong with his body. So Rupa Goswami laughed, but Rupa Goswami was absorbed in Samadhi, and he was laughing from some pastime that he was seeing between Radha and Krishna. So he was on the topmost platform. But the devotee thought, oh, Rupa Goswami is laughing at me. And he went away offended. So when Rupa Goswami came out of Samadhi, you know, his vision broke. He could not enter into the pastime of Radha and Krishna anymore. And then he thought, why is my vision broke? Something is wrong. So he went to Sanat Goswami and he explained what happened. Sanat Goswami said, well, maybe someone's been offended. So Rupa Goswami had to go all around to all the devotees and offer obeisances and said, please forgive me if I've committed some offense. And finally, he got to that devotee and he said, I've committed this, forgive me. And he said, yes, actually, I came to see you and you hurt my feelings because you laughed at me. And he said, no, I was not laughing at you. That was, you know. So then when they understood, they both offered obeisances to each other and they forgave each other. And then there was no. So even someone as advanced as Rupa Goswami, offenses can affect our devotional service. And it's interesting because you see Srila Prabhupada in the final months of Prabhupada being on the planet, when Prabhupada was bedridden, he was staying there in Vrindavan. And then when his godbrothers and different people were coming to see him, Prabhupada was asking everyone, please forgive me for my offences. If I've committed any offence, please forgive me. Because Prabhupada was sometimes very critical of his godbrothers. He said some very heavy, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita at the very end, he says some very heavy things about his godbrothers. You read the final passage he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says very heavy things about his godbrothers. He says some very, like that. So then at the end he was forgiving. He said, sometimes, you know, to preach I was saying these things, but please forgive me, like that. So, and they said there's no offense. A devotee always feels he has to be very careful not to offend others. So that is the consciousness of the devotee. So we have to learn that. We have to learn to be conscious, not to offend others. If we do offend others, then beg forgiveness. Become humble. No matter how big you become as a devotee, no matter what your position in ISKCON, you still have to treat people properly. And even if you're a very big person in ISKCON, you still have to treat everyone respectfully. You can't just, you know, now I'm, you know, guru, or now I'm GBC, or now I'm like this. You have to be very respectful. And Krishna sees, actually, he sees how we treat all the other devotees. You know, the simple devotees, the unimportant devotees, the obscure devotees, the devotees which no one knows about. How do we treat them? You know, because whenever the sannyasi comes, everyone's falling over themselves. Right? You see, whenever a sannyasi walks through, everyone's smiling. You know, like, oh. You know, it's like, and the sannyasi leaves and then everyone's back to normal. So don't just treat the sannyasi well, but learn to treat all the devotees well. That's what Krishna is looking for. Of course you should treat the sannyasi well, because he's advanced, but we should treat all the devotees respectfully also. Any points?
In that point, the famous person of Ramanujacharya is like, he sends two of his disciples to one devotee's house, and they give the message that Ramanujacharya is coming soon, and the devotee becomes so excited, like ecstatic, that
it's his appearance day, right?
Tomorrow.
Anything else? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cause of their hearts. But to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee, are very dear to me. So Prabhupada points out in the purport, he quotes Narottam Das Thakur, that we should become a devotee of the devotee. So this is said by Krishna himself in Adi Purana to Arjuna. He says that one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is not the devotee, but one who says he is the devotee of the devotee, he is my devotee. So that is the consciousness that we have to learn. That's called Vaishnava Seva. Vaishnava Seva Nama Ruchi. Now you get taste for chanting by serving devotees. So a devotee is one who develops the consciousness of serving other devotees. And actually that he becomes more dear to Krishna by serving the devotees. So Prabhupada explains, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, actually Krishna is not independent. There's an important lesson to understand about Krishna, before we go into the 10th canto of the Bhagavata. Because quite often I've heard over the years, I've heard many times devotees, they say that Krishna is Atma Rama. So that means Krishna is self-satisfied. But Krishna is Atma Rama in the sense that he is the Super Soul. Super Soul is Atma Rama. He's self-satisfied. Because that Super Soul is like a neutral kind of personality who yogis meditate upon, and there's not really reciprocation. But Krishna himself, as Prabhupada explains, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna is the Rasika Shekha, which means he is the king of enjoying rasa. You can only enjoy rasa with devotees. So Krishna expands himself, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this, Krishna expands himself unlimitedly, right, to so many devotees. Why? Because he wants to experience pleasure with the devotees. So we cannot really say that Krishna is Atma Ram in the sense that he is self-satisfied. In other words, if Krishna gets more pleasure from being by himself, then why isn't he by himself? The Prabhupada explained to us that if you see a picture of Krishna by himself, that's not Krishna. Maybe Super Soul you can see like that. Paramatma, maybe you see him by himself, but you never see a picture of Krishna by himself. He's never alone. Because he gets pleasure being with the devotees. That is the highest pleasure. And same for us. You know, we get pleasure by being with other devotees. That gives us pleasure. So Krishna, he is not Atma Ram in the sense, you know, you can present him as being Atma Ram. But if you say that that's the highest, satisfaction of God, being Atma Ram, it's not. He much prefers to be with his devotees. He cannot live without his devotees. He's completely captured by his devotees. So to say that he is independent, because I've heard many times in classes, devotees say he's Atma Ram and he's self-satisfied. He's not like that. He likes to be with the devotees. That's his consciousness. And it's very important to understand this as we enter into the 10th canto. We have to understand that Krishna has superior pleasure by being with his devotees. Because that's the whole purport of the Bhagavata. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the nature of the devotee is the devotee is Kripalu. Kripalu akrita droha sachasara sama. There are 26 qualities of the devotee. The first quality is Kripalu. It is mercy, compassionate. So devotee is merciful, he's compassionate. So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the devotee is compassionate, therefore Krishna's mercy always follows the devotee's mercy. Because Krishna, the devotee has captured Krishna's heart. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that basically Krishna's heart and the devotee's heart have become one. Right? When you're very intimate with someone, even though you're two people, we're not talking about one in the impersonal sense. There's duality, but you become one. When two people are very close, I mean, their hearts become, you know, it's that feeling is there. You feel like we're one heart, even though we're two, but we feel like one. That's how it feels. So Krishna feels like that with his intimate associates. They're like one. They're so close. Guru Mukha, Padma Vakya, Chitete, Koriya, Aikya. Aikya means Eka. Right? Make your consciousness one with your Guru's instructions. Make your heart one with Guru and Krishna. So when your heart becomes one with Krishna, and that's how Krishna feels with a devotee, then, whatever the devotee feels, if the devotee feels compassion, then Krishna's compassion flows automatically towards that person. So if a devotee feels compassion towards you, or mercy, or he blesses you, Krishna's mercy automatically flows. So that is the secret. That's why to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to please the devotees. Devotees have to feel pleased with you. If they feel pleased with you, then Krishna is pleased with you. If devotees don't feel pleased with you, you can't even make advancement. No? That's why we sing in the morning, Yashya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado. If the guru feels merciful towards you, automatically Krishna feels merciful. If the guru doesn't, your devotional service is finished. So that is the lesson of the Bhagavatam. So it's important to understand these points as we go into the 10th canto. To serve Krishna means you have to serve Krishna's devotees. And Prabhupada quotes in this purport, he says, Lord Chaitanya has taught us, Gopi Patu, Pada Kamaliyo, Dasa, Dasa, Dasa. But factually speaking, we don't really understand that. That I am servant of the servant of the servant, you know. Of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Sometimes we give class. You know, we all do it. We all give classes and we all say that. You have to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. None of us feel like that. You know. Okay, I'll be the servant of that particular devotee. Because he's my guru and he's very famous, but not everyone. You know, we'll say it, but in actuality, displaying that, or actually doing it, or actually feeling it at the core of our being, that's a different thing. But Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, if we want to enter the 10th canto, you have to imbibe that consciousness fully. It can't be superficial. You have to give up envy of others. Learn to serve all the devotees equally. See all the living entities equally. That's the point. So, any points? Yes, sir.
Just on that point, to serve all the devotees equally, there should be also one of the nature of a Madhyamadika is to discriminate between devotees. So, also in the last retreat, he mentioned this point, he was quoting Bhakti Matapu, like the basic principle in devotion service is to discriminate. So one has to discriminate between different levels of devotees. Whom you should associate and whom you should not associate with. So you have to look at that from that angle as well. Like if you are not comfortable or if there's a devotee who is inimical, then we have to keep distance. We cannot apply that principle to
that we serve each and every devotee equally. Yeah, that's a fair comment. But at least in the heart, you feel like that. Yeah, you practically.
Respect all
of you. Yeah, but it's true. I mean, you have to stay back from it. Yeah, that's true. Any other point? O best of the brahmanas, whose saintly without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that we have to learn to cooperate with another person he mentions. We have to learn to cooperate with Krishna. Yeah. And Prabhupada says this in Ishopanishad also, he says the same thing. We have to learn to cooperate with Krishna. We have to learn Krishna's mood. What is Krishna's mood? How does Krishna feel? Krishna feels very attached to his devotees, so we have to learn to feel attached to him. First thing Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Gita, first verse of the 7th chapter, which verse in Bhagavad Gita did Prabhupada lecture on the most? If you look at all of Prabhupada's lectures on Gita, which verse did he lecture on more than any other verse? Chapter 7, verse 1. Yeah. Most lectures on that. Where Krishna says you have to develop asakti, or attachment. You have to develop attachment to Krishna. Right? The second verse that Prabhupada lectured on the most was 9.1. So 7.1 is the first verse of the chapters which describe bhakti yoga. Because what does Krishna say in the last verse of the 6th chapter? Yogi Mamapi Sarvesha. He says, of all the yogis, my devotee is the best. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when Krishna says that at the end of the 6th chapter, he remembers his devotee, he goes into ecstasy, and then his heart pours out. And then he begins to speak about bhakti for the next 6 chapters, which is the essence of the Gita. The most confidential instructions are in the 9th chapter and the beginning of the 10th chapter. Right in the middle of the Gita. So, Krishna is very attached to his devotees. And devotees have to become attached to Krishna. That's the whole point of this Krishna consciousness movement. If you're not developing attachment to Krishna, right, you'll look for attachment in the material energy. And I remember my spiritual master, His Holiness, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he said one time, he said, there are many reasons why devotees leave ISKCON. But he said one of the main reasons is that devotees fail to become attached to Krishna. We don't become attached to Krishna. And if you don't become attached to Krishna sooner or later, you cannot progress fully in devotional service. So you have to develop asakti, which is a high level of bhakti. It means you have to become very attached to Krishna. So here it is saying that Krishna is attached to his devotees, we also need to become attached to him. Right? And when we develop that consciousness of being attached to Krishna, then we can advance properly in our devotional service. So, Prabhupada says that Krishna wants us to cooperate with him. Why? So that we can increase each other's bliss. Krishna wants us to be blissful. Prabhupada points this out. You know, every day, I have this calendar at home. You know, every day you flip over and then Prabhupada says something. So the one I have at home, I flipped it over and Prabhupada says, Krishna is always, words to this effect, Krishna is always happy. And therefore he wants all the other living entities to also be happy. So we have to develop that consciousness. If we cooperate with Krishna, then we will also be happy. Because Krishna is happy, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to reciprocate, as Prabhupada says in this purport, he wants us to cooperate. So if we cooperate, we'll become very blissful in devotional service.
What do you mean by cooperate?
It means...
Give him Ananda.
The Prabhupada explains in the Ishvapanishad, Krishna does not want to control us. Because if it's control, you know, if I say, Jamuna Lila, go and sit over there. You know, it does make you feel very good. So if Krishna is like that, you know, do this for me. You know, do that for me. Like that. So Prabhupada says he just wants us to cooperate. He just wants us to, you know, Krishna says, can you do this for me? Or naturally, you just want to do things for Krishna. So you develop a cooperative spirit, then he will be happy, you will also be happy. And you see in the spiritual world, Krishna likes to serve his devotees. Because we're about to go into the 10th canto. The essence of the 10th canto is that Krishna wants to serve his devotees. That's where he gets his supreme pleasure. You'll see, when he's young, he's carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna prefers that position. And then you'll see when we get to the most intimate part of the 10th canto that Krishna wants to serve the gopis of Vrindavan. He takes Radha and he carries her. And the gopis are following. They see there's only one set of footprints. Yeah, so Krishna gets greater pleasure by serving the devotees. So that should be our mood. If we want to understand the Bhagavatam, we have to understand this mood of Krishna. And cooperate. So, any points? Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? So we'll read the purport because this is a nice purport. Sri Chaitanya, the first paragraph.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed by the words Brahmana Devaya Bhu Brahmana Idaja. Thus he is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Govasamuni was certainly a very great Brahmana, but because he was non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Govasamuni created a demon to kill Maharaj Amrish, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly on him. Whereas when Duvasamuni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so pursued that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of God? The Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him.
Mm. So what are the points in this first paragraph? Prabhupada is pointing out that a non-devotee lacks intelligence. That's Devasa's defect. He's not intelligent. And that's what happens. You may be very intelligent, very materially qualified. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shrivya, Queen Kunti says, you may have Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shrivya. You may have beauty, learning, high birth, or wealth, or opulence. But if you're not a devotee, you lack qualification or you lack intelligence how to act properly. And Prabhupada points out that non-devotees very often offend the devotees because they don't understand how to act properly. And even sometimes you see devotees offend other devotees. Sometimes we offend other devotees. That's because we're lacking intelligence, because we're not understanding who we are. Because when you understand who you are, who are you? Yeah, you're Jivara, Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera, Nitya Das. You're Krishna's eternal servant. The Acharyas point out that when Rupa Goswami gives his definition of bhakti, and Yabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Kamadyunavritam, Anukuyena Krishna, Krishanu Shilana Bhakti. When in Krishna, the Acharyas point out Krishna means Krishna's expansions. It also means Krishna's devotees. So in the definition of Krishna, means Krishna and his devotees. The two are not separate. So we have to serve Krishna and his devotees also. That is bhakti. So sometimes we forget who we are. We forget that we're the servant of the other devotees. And when we offend the other devotees, or we act improperly. And as soon as you act improperly, then what takes place? You commit offenses and then... So it means we're lacking intelligence, but a devotee does not lack intelligence. A devotee has higher intelligence. So we'll read the next paragraph, the second paragraph. Janesh, you want to read the second? Second paragraph is very instructive.
Another point in this verse is that attachment to home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to earth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have a habit or attraction for wife, children and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false
attachment and thus free from wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him back to back home to Godhead. So who is
Prabhupada
talking about in this purport? What is he talking about? Yeah, but I wasn't thinking like that. Who was he actually talking? Everyone in this room. Because read the verse. What does the verse say? Hands up if you're attached to your wife or your husband. Okay. The wives put their hands up. The husbands. Yeah. In some cases, I was looking around the room, everyone's doing something different. But the point is that everyone is attached in this world. Husbands are attached to wives are attached to husbands, we're attached to our home, we're attached to our car, we're attached to our computer, we're attached to our watch, we're attached to so many things. So what we're attached to in this material world is very difficult to overcome. So Prabhupada points out, Krishna understands that we have these attachments, so he will remove the attachment in due course of time. He'll remove the attachment. If he sees that we're sincerely trying to serve him, but we can't overcome the attachments ourselves, then Krishna will remove the attachment. So that will happen to all of us, if we're sincere. The attachment will go away. And we'll be attached to Krishna. And we'll see our family members as Krishna's servants, right? Instead of seeing them in a Maya form. In other words, they're for our enjoyment. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, under control. Interesting, Prabhupada says in the purport, because the second verse of the second line of the Sanskrit in the verse says, Sattva Samadarshana. So Prabhupada says, when you see Krishna, you see all living entities equally. In other words, Pandit Samadarshana, that's what Gita says. So Prabhupada says, how do you become dear to Krishna? You become dear to Krishna by bringing his parts and parcels back to him. By understanding everyone's spiritual essence and reconnecting them with Krishna. By that preaching activity, you bring everyone, of bringing everyone back to Krishna, then you become dear to Krishna. Because that means you have spiritual vision. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sarshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? And Prabhupada points this out. Bilvamangala Thakur says that mukti, or liberation, becomes a maidservant at the door of bhakti. Yeah, so when you become a devotee, you get mukti automatically. Most of us, if you analyze deep in your own consciousness, most of us, our bhakti is motivated by the desire for mukti. Most of us are doing devotional service because we have a desire to become liberated from the suffering we're experiencing in the material world. I know that for myself it's there. I'm not free from that. I'm not even close to being free from that. That I have the desire to just be liberated. Yeah, sometimes I speak to myself. You know, do you ever speak to yourself? Huh? Does anyone ever catch you speaking to yourself? Huh? Yeah, my daughter walked in the other day and she said, how come you're talking to yourself? I said, you do it. She goes, no, I don't. I said, yeah, you do it. You listen to yourself. I do it. I speak to myself sometimes. So sometimes I say to myself, I say to Krishna, I'm speaking to Krishna. Sometimes I say to him, whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready, just get me out of here. I say it to him sometimes. I just say, whenever you're ready. You know, just get me out. But that's bhakti mixed with a desire for mukti. That's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service, that means I will just serve you. Unconditionally. Whatever you want. Birth after birth, life after life. Not that I want to get out of this material energy. But at this point in time, we are motivated. We have some impurity in our bhakti. But when we become advanced, we just want to serve Krishna for the sake of it. When you become advanced. Yeah, I think you got the key memory verses from the beginning of the chapter. So probably in the next section I'll give, because there's a number of really good ones here.
The next verse is
68 is practically a KMV. Yeah, it's a powerful verse. So yeah, I'll go through it. I'll check. Jagannath Ram, why don't you select a few?
I already given.
Did you?
For the next one.
For the next section?
Yeah,
for the next section. Yeah. Just go through, yeah. Go through this last section, because there's probably about five verses which are buried. Yeah, next one's famous. Yes, some powerful verses. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I know, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know, and I do not know anything else but them. So basically, this is the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And basically, it's the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse is practically the essence of bhakti. You know, the past time, Mahaprabhu goes to South India and he meets the Brahmana. And the Brahmana is crying because he's looking at the cover of the Gita. So that's the essence of bhakti. Mahaprabhu said, you have understood everything. Even you can't read, but you've understood everything. So if you understand this verse, then you've understood everything. So what does Prabhupada say in the purport? Well, Prabhupada says in the purport, avoid the hati mata offense. Don't offend the devotees. Because they're dear to Krishna. Krishna says in this verse, they're dear to me. So don't offend the devotees. Radhanath Swami says, when you offend the devotee, you stick a pin into Krishna's foot. It's like you're worshipping the deity, you know, and if you stick a pin into the deity, that's an offense. So when you offend a devotee, it's like pricking Krishna directly. So you will get reactions. It's called hati mata, mad elephant offense. Where is that from? Maybe Bhagavat, yeah. Not in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed.
Like it is famously said by Prabhupada, I think in the Ramadan, that when you get angry, then you are actually holding, it's like holding a hot pole in your own hand. You want to throw the hot pole on others, but you're holding it in your hand, it's going to harm you in the person. That's what Krishna is saying. The prophecy that you employ.
For a Brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. So the basic lesson here is, if you offend a devotee, you have to go to that devotee and beg forgiveness. I know myself, sometimes I've offended devotees who are much junior to me. They've been practicing devotional service for many years less than me. But because I offend them, or somehow I've offended them, until I go to them and make rectification and beg forgiveness, the offense does not be removed. So that's the system. You have to go to that devotee. If you offend a devotee, you have to go to that devotee and you have to beg forgive. That's the system. Krishna does not forgive in any other way. You can't go to the deities, you can't go to the guru, you can't go to all the other devotees, you have to go to that person. That's the system. And render service.
What do you do if that person is dead?
If they're dead, then pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. So next week we'll continue to chapter 5. Hari Hari.
Excellent answer, thank you.
Thanks. Hari Hari Bifale Janam Ganoinu.
I'm really not feeling well, so we won't do it tonight. Sean's going to go to bed. Okay. Yeah, I'm not feeling well.